Okay, this hour we're going to spend some time with you and David Cereda as we talk about the Earth's magnetic field doing its collapse. Let's take some of your questions, too, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, David Cereda with us, and of course, we'll take your phone calls as well. So, David, are we under any kind of pressure or rush? Because as I was saying, people are acting weird these days. Nobody can figure out why. You may have touched it right there when we talk about the collapse of the magnetic field.
I know when you read the news today, it's like there's no humanity left in the human race. It is so chaotic. It is so much every person for themselves. It is so competitive that the heart center seems to be almost gone. There are very few highly integral societies left anywhere, let alone people. And you wonder, like, you know, where's all this going to go? I mean, my prediction, based on spiritual experiences, about what the new Earth is, what's going to happen? According to NASA, within 2,000 years, the Earth's magnetic field will completely collapse. And at that point, we physically can't be here anymore because the cosmic rays are just too powerful. Water will not survive here, and you can't live without water. And when you look at what we really are, we're mostly made of elements on the periodic table that are atoms that are vibrating in the millions of waves per second to a few of the elements are in the billions of waves per second. So our cell phone communication is now approaching 8 and 9 gigahertz, which is billions of waves per second. So our communication systems are vibrating at the upper end of physical matter. And what I think is going to happen, I've been using my transmitter to pulse my meditation space and body with frequencies from the Great Pyramid to take me on the astral plane from the fourth dimension reality, which is where I think we are now, to the fifth dimension, where I'm experiencing regularly, I've been there so many times, a better Earth, a new Earth, as Eckhart Tolle would say, and also what the Bible predicts in the end, after the revelation, is this new paradise Earth. I believe, as quantum physicists have actually verified, that there are multiple realities sitting on top of us right now. There are multiple histories for Earth. And as real as this one seems to us, because our bones seem so real, and everything we experience seems so real, which is really just a bunch of fluctuations and atoms that is mostly empty space. Most of physicality is truly, at the atomic level, empty space. When the magnetic field of the Earth collapses, I predict this Earth is going to pass away, just like the Bible says. The new Earth is going to be the best one where, of all the different dimensions of Earth, the one I'm seeing in the fifth dimension, I'll give you just a couple of previews of what I'm experiencing there. They're actually teaching me the orientation of their magnetic field in the fifth dimensional Earth. They're telling me to leave my light on in the southern part of the house because they can actually get into and communicate through the south part of the magnetic field. Now, the Great Pyramid of Egypt is aligned north, south, east, west, and it's numerical firing sequence, according to the math I did on it, is north, south, east, west. So that's the firing sequence of the frequencies in the pyramid. In that Earth, I see cities that are made of glass that is as strong as steel. Everyone has super modern, beautiful homes. They don't work in a banking debt economy the way we do. They use their youth and their power to build homes for everybody. Everybody has homes. The idea that you have to make somebody pay for 40 years for a house that took a couple of guys less than a year to make is just utterly, you know, criminally insane. And just the fact that we do that, that one thing alone, that you got to pay for a 30 or 40-year mortgage, and that's if nothing bad happens to the house. It could be longer. What we've done is we've forced people to burn a lot of fuel and drive around all over the place to do crazy jobs just to pay for this fictitious number that we decided to invent. Right. And we've overused our resources, and we've made each other so stressed out that we can't actually meditate. We don't have time to creatively think about how to reach space and how to build flying saucers, how these other civilizations are doing it. So I believe a lot of the UFOs that I'm actually being visited by in the fifth dimensional Earth, a lot of our actual physical flying saucers are not coming from another planet. They're actually coming from another dimension of our own planet.
Well, hold that thought for a second, David. Let's take some calls, okay. But I want to come back and talk with you about that. Let's go to Mike in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, George. Glad you had David on, and you're doing a great public service by having guests like this. And David, you're one of my favorite guests, so I hope you're on a lot. You just kind of touched on what I wanted to ask about. Over the last couple of years, there's been this increasing rash of these orange fireballs and orbs of different colors kind of just meandering over through the sky. Have you done any research or heard anything that, might be related to solar activity or, like you said, fluctuations in the magnetic field or something like that?
Well, some of the orbs are, I believe, intelligent beings, as well as some of them are purely, you know, pyroelectric phenomena from grinding plates and solar activity.
Plasma.
And
right.
Plasma. But some of these beings that, like in the early days when I made my evidence the case for NASA UFO film, these cameras that were sensitive to really low levels of light were seeing these orbs or balls of light floating up out of the Earth in Africa in that particular photography, and they go shooting out into space. And I often thought, you know, these aren't physical craft, and these certainly aren't, you know, pieces of dust floating by the camera lens, because they have real movement. They are probably the classic, you know, orb shape phenomena that appear in the crop circles. And this may sound shocking, but I've had three of them right in front of me with my eyes open, and they actually spoke to me. They were about the size, 3 foot wide, about the size of 3 foot wide beach balls. They were bluish. One was kind of a purpley pink, and one was white, and they spoke perfect English, and they said they were from Arcturus, the star system Arcturus. And I was just in utter shock and amazement looking at them. But there's also that photography in William Gizecki's film of the young farmer sitting on the tractor, and the ball of light comes right up to him. They got this on film. And then he passes out. He goes to sleep when the ball of light comes near him. And I believe what the ball of light is doing in broad daylight to his brain is it's inducting him with really deep delta frequencies, which put him to sleep. And that is what I experienced with them. I've met them a few times. I mean, literally, physically, with my eyes open perfectly clearly right in front of me. So the crop circles also, the real ones, might be instructions to build a magnetic field portal to get to the higher dimensional Earth.
All right, let's take some more calls here for you. Rob in North Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you for taking my call. I've got a Dave kind of alluded to something I've been experiencing and kind of wondering about. Say, in the summertime, the temperature is about 80 in a sunny day, and by 5 o'clock, the temperature drops drastically. All of a sudden, the tornado sirens go off, you know, high winds and whatnot. Where I live, there's about 75 yards out from me is a cell phone tower. Well, on the flip side, what Dave was, if I was hearing him correctly, when you get the cold ground temperatures, and then you've got about 65 feet off the ground, you get those very hot microwave heat temperatures. Are we getting like a flip side? Because I've been experiencing gale winds here nonstop for about 3 months now. I mean, just tenacious.
Well, that's what creates wind is difference. Like if you have a perfectly hot day with no clouds in the sky in Arizona, there's no wind. And as soon as a little cloud comes along and creates a cool patch, you set up temperature difference. And the difference,
right, yeah.
The voltage means difference. So energy won't flow or spin in a vortex unless there's difference. So once you set up difference with the hot microwaves and the cold ground temperature, then you're going to have wind. You're going to have movement.
Yeah, and there's like 40-mile-an-hour gale winds up above me.
Right. You're going to have the electrons start to move really fast, because electrons move at amazing speed, and they drag the dust particles around, which push the air mass around. So that's my theory on you know, how these weather systems are moving at that electric level.
Do you see in the future people, scientists beginning to realize this phenomenon and eventually tear down all these cell phone towers and go back to landlines?
Well, no, see, that's what I believe. I mean, all of my work specializes in harmonics. I believe we use electricity disharmonically, and I have designed harmonic programs that you can pulse in your house to restabilize the magnetic field in your house and your body. And we did tests with several subjects in Sedona, pulsing three women with the frequencies I mathematically decoded in the Great Pyramid, and their auras went from a chaotic, unbalanced state to a super bright sine wave balanced chakras. And we tested these women the next day when they weren't even on the technology, and they had still maintained 80% of that improvement. So it's electricity in a chaotic state that doesn't agree with the body. Like, I think at nighttime, like, you can try this. Like, during a power outage, you'll feel it's dark in the house and you light candles, but it's so peaceful.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
As soon as that electricity comes on, that's 60 hertz. You know, you don't need 60 hertz in the brain until you're awake and you're highly active. That's the upper part of the waking brain. So all these people with insomnia, you know, you've got your cell phone sitting next to the bed. You've got your head near an outlet, and you can take a good EMF meter and hold it near an outlet. And that's 60 hertz right near your head, you know, sitting next to that outlet. So that's going to disturb your sleep pattern and your brainwave. So what I've done is designed all these total harmonic fields that can be used both with audio or with my transmitters to restabilize your environment. And I think eventually all appliances need to have these harmonic field generators in them. And it will change the electric field on the entire planet, because the way we use electricity now, it doesn't make any sense. It's just not harmonic to life.
Okay, Richard, it's your turn in Washington. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, hi, George and David.
Hi there.
You were saying something about these kids that were suffering from depression, and you took them into a cave and did whatever and reestablished the frequency, and it made them better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my question is, some of us, like, for example, are peas are just fine, but we have others have allergic reaction. Can some of us have the opposite reaction with the normal frequencies, but when the frequencies become what they are, become more normalized?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you mean you get used to the current frequencies?
Well, you said something about the frequencies affecting their depression and so forth.
Well, no, what happened is they took a group of teenagers who were not depressed, and when they isolated them away from the natural frequency of Earth, they got depressed. And then they found that in most American big cities, there's so much EMF pollution and electricity,
everywhere,
they cannot detect the frequency of Earth anymore, which could explain the epidemic depression levels in most major cities and all the people taking
Post-Rex. Okay. So
yeah.
Then those of us who are exposed to normal frequencies, who are depressed and are taken away from this frequency, can they become more normalized?
Well, if you're taken either, there's two ways to do it. I mean, I personally where I have these pendants that can reharmonize your body's magnetic field to help you. As well,
the reason
as
I'm asking this, it's because it's a personal thing for me. I at one time suffered greatly from depression.
Mm-hmm.
And as the years have gone by, and now that I live on a rock, basically, rather than on farmland, I become more and more normal. I don't have the depression and things like
See,
that.
See, because you're the rock, and living out in, if you're away from the cities, you know, like I am now, the natural vibration of the earth is so relaxing and so healthy. Even if you have electricity in your house, at least you're not surrounded. Like, if you're in Manhattan and you buy an iPad and you want to go connect to your Wi-Fi, you've got to search hundreds of other people's Wi-Fi signals right on top of yours. That means every apartment in that tower has got a Wi-Fi signal that's right on top of your brain. And it's no wonder people are going crazy. No wonder their behavior is getting more and more erratic and insane, literally insane, because we're exposed to microwave frequencies, which are hot. They're very high temperature. You know, electromagnetic fields are not harmful. It's microwaves that are harmful. You know, nature's full of natural electromagnetic fields. And rocks, you know, they're semiconductors. So you walk barefoot on the rocks and in the grass, and you go down to the stream and you really connect with nature, you're the lucky one, because that's the natural way to do it. But there's technology now that I've developed that can help you do that if you live in the city and you live near high-tension power lines, for example. I mean, high-tension power lines have been proven to cause leukemia in many individuals.
And God knows what else.
So there's all that to consider, yeah. There's natural and then there's artificial ways of reharmonizing. I think the way we're using electric fields on the planet is totally immature and totally unevolved. And it is probably contributing to the rapid destruction of natural weather patterns.
What did you mean by the craft could be dimensional?
Many of the UFOs, I believe, are not. See, when you see a real UFO with your real physical eyes, you see it. They don't zip around and do banking turns like, you know, F-18s do or F-22s. They just hover there, and then they just blink out. You know, they move around a little bit, and they just jump dimensions. And where they go is there are other dimensions of this planet that I believe that there are multiple dimensions going on, and there's probably... In the end, there's probably one dimension where everything is done perfectly, and that dimension, all the other dimensions are going to collapse. When the magnetic field collapses within another 2,000 years, according to NASA, nobody, you physically can't live here anymore. And I think all of the false dimensions, the ones that are not harmonic, where humans have not made the right choices, those dimensions are going to burn up in the cosmic radiation when the magnetic field collapses. But the dimension of Earth that is harmonic, where everybody has made the right choices, that's the new paradise Earth in the Bible. That's the new Earth. That's my prediction from everything I've seen. That's where the UFOs are now. A lot of the UFOs are coming from other star systems, yes, but a lot of them are coming from the better Earth.
Well, there's no doubt. David, we're going to take this quick break. We're going to come back with more phone calls for you. But would you give us your website?
Yeah, my website where my transmitters and my pendants are is lightstreamtechnologies.com. That's lightstreamtechnologies.com. And my films are at voiceentertainment.net. And my laptop protector shields are at wavetech.us.
Excellent. David Cereda, our special guest, will come back. We'll take some final phone calls with him as we talk about the Earth's magnetic field. It is collapsing. Well, have you watched our television program yet? Beyond Belief, you can. 10 days free. Amazing subject matter and guests. And we've got a major campaign going on because we need your help to set up a special Coast Fund. And we're looking for 3,500 new subscribers for that. And by the way, you can also watch all the other incredible programs that are available for free during those 10 days. You know, Lisa Gar, who hosts her own public radio program, she's on Gaim Television as well. You can watch her shows too. So simply go to beyondbelief.com, fill out the sign-in information, and there you go. Welcome back. David Cereda with us. And, of course, we'll take your final phone calls. David, by the way, great job for us on a very complicated subject, which is pretty darn serious, you know?
It's amazingly serious when you see and you really wake up to what's happening. I think, you know, the Internet has made people very deactivated physically. I mean, in the 60s and 70s, you really got involved on a physical level with protesting and with really trying to physically make a difference. And now everybody's aware. They're aware from your show, probably more than anything, and the Internet. You can really study things and research them. But when you see this happening to this great land, I mean, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see, you know, my daughter and the new children going into this. I mean, not being able to take her to the beaches in California and Oregon is heartbreaking for me because I grew up there. I mean, to experience the beauty of those beaches is just one of the greatest treasures in life. And we don't know. I mean, they're saying the radiation in the Pacific and the longevity of those particles is it's basically permanent. If that's what's causing the water temperature to increase, which is killing the starfish.
Maybe it is.
Well, that would mean if that's what's building the high pressure ridge, that little bit of temperature increase, not much, it might even be a degree or two, then that means the high pressure is here to stay and California is going to turn into a desert. If it's not the entire cause, which I hope it isn't, then maybe the rains will return at some point. But right now, my mom is planning to evacuate her home that, you know, her and her husband lived in, you know, for a very long time in the Sierra Nevada. And it's sad. It's sad when you have to go and you have to leave.
Oh, absolutely.
That place. And now people in the American East and the South, I mean, these freezing temperatures, I'm actually really amazed that more people aren't dying. I know we're burning a lot of fuel. There's a lot of fracking and natural gas that's keeping people warm. I've discovered a frequency that produces a lot of heat with very little energy. And I have a team of guys that are interested in the idea of maybe, you know, finding a way to produce energy efficient heating and cooling. You know, these things are hard to really get anywhere, but I'm experiencing it. I'm experiencing a particular frequency through a coil with no power, very little power, and there's a lot of heat there, and that could save a lot of lives. Like, I read, and I still don't know if this is true, but I read in some European press that not this winter, the winter before, there were 30,000 human deaths in England, a lot of farm families, because they had to choose between heating and eating, and they chose to eat, and they froze to death. I don't know if that number is accurate. It is in the press in Europe, but I do know that a lot of people are freezing to death, and a lot of people are getting the flu, and a lot of people are so cold and they're so sick right now in Eastern America that, you know, this is really happening, and it's not normal. I mean,
no,
this is not normal.
Nothing's normal. David, let's wrap it up with some calls. Yeah. Let's go to our first-time caller in Erie, Pennsylvania. Donald is with us. Hey, Donald, good morning to you.
Good morning. May I ask Dave a question?
You sure can.
Okay, Dave, I have a spiritual question. I'm a little bit about science, but I'd like to ask you something spiritual.
Okay.
Would you say the sum total of our existence as a human being resides in our language?
Explain a little bit more about it.
Well, the words that we use and the feelings and perceptions that these words create within our souls make us who we are.
What do you think of that, David?
Well, you know, words are vibrations, and it's amazing. I always think this is kind of funny how I can watch a cartoon with my 3-year-old daughter, and I'm crying and getting so involved in the drama, and this is a Barbie episode.
You cry at a Barbie episode, David?
With my little 3-year-old
What's
daughter.
Wrong
like,
with
this
you?
This isn't even real. And well, it is real because these are heartfelt feelings that are created in this little movie, in this little story. And yeah, we are our words. Word is logos. It comes from the vibrations of the cosmos. And there are certain words, for some reason, they just get your heart. They just get your soul.
Did you have a Barbie doll when you were a kid, David?
No.
Okay,
no. I was surrounded by boys my whole life, 5 boys. So now I'm surrounded by my wife and my little daughter. So
let's go to Pete. Pete in Miami. Hey, Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, my question is basically on, you know, NASA's inefficient and they're not really giving an answer, but they kind of are, because they want to do the mission to Mars by, like, what, 2012, and actually ship human bodies to stay there for good.
To Mars, yeah. 2020.
Well, so this is I think if we really opened up, we would know that we already have the technology to go there, and we could terraform Mars, and we could start, you know, rebuilding a new world there. I think we have so many people on this planet, we reached the point that we were meant to reach deep space, very, very deep space. And Mars is the best candidate to re-terraform by introducing plant life and chlorophyll and rebuilding the atmosphere there. There are other photochemical things we could do to speed up the development of an atmosphere there. But hiding the UFO and anti-gravity technology and thinking we're going to use rockets to get to Mars is really our biggest problem.
Remember the movie The Core, when they had a device and they had them jumpstart the core again? It stopped revolving, right?
Right.
Is there anything we can do to stop the magnetic field from collapsing and flipping?
See, I believe it all has to do with numbers and frequencies. I mean, maybe the next show we should do, I'm going to release these frequencies that I've decoded in the Great Pyramid into an audio level that is so powerful and so beautiful to listen to. I think frequencies could re-jump the core.
You bombard it with this frequency?
There's a way to do that. You have to place sensors in proper spacing all over the planet and start transmitting, and those waves they'll all collapse together in the core at the same time and set off a reaction. And these particular frequencies are so incredible. I mean, my windows are shattering and shaking in this house, but beautifully listening to these pyramid frequencies, which I'm going to release fairly soon.
What's the frequency?
Well, it's a blend. They're blends of frequencies. These are fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth dimensional frequencies. And just the fifth one, it's a blend of frequencies in the math in the Great Pyramid. You got to listen to it. I mean, I'll send you, George, an audio file. And if you got good speakers, you listen to this, and it's going to blow your mind.
Okay. You can use that for healing too, can't you?
Oh, yeah. It actually feels like you're getting a massage. I've been looking for a way to make this sonic, because right now I'm transmitting with crystal oscillator electromagnets, which you don't hear. But to hear this, I've never heard anything like it. I mean, I've had people over sitting here, and just with a little pair of speakers, the walls are shaking, but it's a beautiful breathing, pulsing, spiraling sound with all these numbers that I've decoded. And I'll send you, you know, through Lisa or your direct email, an audio download link, and you can listen to it. And it'll blow your mind. It's amazing. And I think those frequencies that the pyramid was generating, in fact, if you look at where all the pyramids are lined up all the way around the planet in this ring that is several miles wide, they might have been counterbalances that were placed by the previous super advanced civilization to prevent exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, let's go next to Silver Lake, California. Hello, Ruth. Thank you for holding.
Hi, I have three questions. Number one, they're putting transformers on our property. Would that tenant help me, or should I be worried about the two transformers they're putting on our property?
Do you hear buzzing underneath them?
Well, they haven't put them in yet. They're sitting out here
in
the back parking lot, and they're going to put them in here.
Well, how close to your house? You don't want those close to your house.
Well, they're going to be probably from my apartment, maybe 18 yards, one of them, and the other one's going to go on the other side of the complex.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to get a good EMF meter to measure if you're inside of the field. Transformers just transform electricity off the pole to 60 hertz to deliver.
It's the wires that are dangerous.
Yeah, the wiring behind your walls, you know, if you're really sensitive and you don't have a lot of good electrolytes in your diet, those frequencies are really stressing you out. You don't realize it, but they are.
They're burying the wires.
That's good.
Now, what about before on Coast to Coast, I heard about Faraday cages.
Yes.
Those don't really work anymore with today's frequencies. You know, today's cell phone frequencies are way too high in frequency, and those cages won't block those. I've tested those.
So I should get the pennant.
Yeah, there's many things you can do. The best thing I found, you can reharmonize your space, and or you can try blocking those fields with certain metals. But the only metal I know that can block intense microwaves is so expensive that you would never. You could put it in your walls if you're, you know, multimillionaire, but you couldn't. People couldn't afford it.
We can't do that. What's the metal?
Tungsten. Use tungsten to transport radioactive materials because it actually blocks the radiation from penetrating the container of tungsten. And there are certain metals that we use in our laptop shields to block radiation from your laptop from going into your reproductive system that are less expensive, but they're still not cheap. You know, it's not lead. It's you know, lead-free. But tungsten blocks more than anything, but a thin sheet of it foot by foot is $400. So, and that's a foot by foot isn't going to block.
Expensive drywall, David.
Yeah, you'd have to make drywall with tungsten on the outside, and oh, my God, that would cost a lot of money.
AJ's in Tennessee. Go ahead, AJ.
Yes, sir. Good morning, George. Yeah,
you too, AJ.
I guess I got to say your show is definitely addicting, and I'm glad I can actually get through here to ask this really important question because this is really weighing on me, and your show has brought it to light along with the Internet. The Fukushima event with all the radiation released from their massive oops that they did over there and failure to really make an attempt to contain it, with all the factors that go into what makes up the radioactive material and the release into the water, being a metal-based type of thing on a really molecular level that has to interfere with, you know, the ocean waters as well as the atmosphere. And can this even remotely be something we can blame for this major polar change and the collapse of the magnetic field that is very, very important, you know?
I mean, Fukushima could have been stopped. See, I predicted it was going to blow up, and there was a young MIT physicist I used to work with all these MIT guys in nuclear fusion who were saying, you know, why I'm not worried after the earthquake that Fukushima is going to blow up. And I said, it's going to blow up. And in 3 days, it blew up. All they had to do is drop flame retardant on that cloud when it blew up, and all those particles would have been stopped instantly from migrating across the Pacific. They didn't do that. The second thing is the radioactive particles that are leaking and getting worse by the day. The levels of radiation have gone up exponentially since the incident. And what's going into the Pacific is so devastating at this point. And I said this on the last show I did with George. The only solution is to broadcast harmonic frequencies at the frequency that cesium oscillates at, which is around 9 gigahertz. And because all the cesium in the Pacific is tuned to the same frequency, if you broadcast harmonic frequencies at that frequency as a carrier wave, all the cesium will receive it, and it will reharmonize the transmissions of the cesium, which is destroying the Pacific. But there's other particles. There's uranium. There's trace plutonium-238. A millionth of a gram of 238 plutonium will give you cancer in 10 years. That's according to John Goffman, who worked on the Manhattan Project, and I knew him. So 1 millionth of a gram, that's a microgram. So you get that in your lung, and they were detecting plutonium-238 in Berkeley, you know, less than a year after the incident. So a lot of people have that in their bodies. And the only solution at this point, because they did such a our government did an absolutely horrible job in preparing us for this and preventing the migration of the particles. But second, there's a lot of things you can do in your body by raising your electrolytes and your energy that, you know, I have a whole comprehensive plan for people who live in the coastal region.
And it could be years before we really see the effects of Fukushima, but we're going to see.
Well, no, there's a lot of effects. I mean, you're seeing the marine life with all the lesions and tumors and the death of the starfish and the plankton.
Well, and the readings are high. The radiation levels are
The radiation levels are way beyond John Goffman's cancer levels. And then you have, there was a report, this is shocking, The first year after Fukushima, the infant death rate skyrocketed. I remember this doctor on Fox News in the East Coast saying, look, this isn't normal. We've got 40,000 more deaths at the infant death level than we normally have, right in concert in timing with the arrival of the clouds of radiation from Fukushima. And yet, on that Fox News report I watched, no other doctors were backing him up. Well, he's right. Children are the most sensitive, and so are, you know, small marine creatures are ultra, ultra sensitive to very low levels. I mean, these are not extremely high levels, but 500 counts a minute is six times cancer level. So
that's a lot.
It's pretty high.
That's a lot. Let's go to Roger, Lee Summit, Missouri. Go ahead, Raj.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, Roger.
I called, actually. You've got so many subjects going. It's you've given me a potpourri of stuff to choose from. One thing I'd like to say first, I was abducted by UFO several years ago, and I'm not wanting to get into that subject, but something I thought I'd share with you since you'd mentioned something that kind of aligned with
sure.
it was that
Thank you.
They thought it was cute that we referred to them as aliens from outer space, when in fact they were our own great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren who had learned how to travel in time and came back to observe their own evolution. And so, but anyway, that wasn't actually what I was calling to say. The harmonic balance is the thing I was concerned about. Mm-hmm. If all of the people on the planet Earth got really angry, sincerely angry at the same time, how would that affect the harmonic balance of planet Earth itself?
30 seconds, David.
Well, I think everybody is really angry right now at their governments for oppressing them so bad, and that may be contributing. We have magnetic fields, so you have 7 billion magnetic fields that are really angry, and maybe less than 10% of those aren't angry. That's a lot of magnetic force.
A lot indeed. David, thanks for being on the show. Very great subject.
Thanks, George, for having me. It's been a great pleasure.
David Cereda. Up next, of course, Transevolution. Daniel Estulin. We're going live to Spain. By the way, there's a poll for you at coasttocoastam.com in the highlights reel. Go ahead and register your vote. The question, would you consider becoming part machine in order to extend your life and vitality? Go ahead and take it.